You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 38, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, on today's show, Calvin Holliday is joining me. Calvin's the CEO of the Transformational Group of Companies, which includes the Institute, which is a registered training organization, an RTO, as we refer them here in Australia, delivering nationally recognized qualifications, also consulting services, career and business coaching company that makes a huge difference in people's lives, that in turn builds organizations, as well as a hub, which is a business incubator, helping startup businesses to establish and thrive, as well as a digital marketing service that includes video and TV editing, filming and editing, and social media promotions, something all of us as Christian business owners should be doing in our business. Now, specifically on today's show, Calvin is going to share how to build a highly effective team and team culture that thrives. Very important. How to create a compelling mission, vision, and value statement that motivates and accelerates productivity while at the same time provides customer service that emulates the values of the Christian faith, as well as how to build a network of like-minded business owners that creates a win-win-win opportunities for individuals, for businesses, and above all, serves the kingdom. So welcome to the show, Calvin.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
One of the things I love to do with all of our guests is just to get a bit of a background, a snapshot, if you will, of the journey into entrepreneurship. Maybe you've been an entrepreneur all of your life. You've got so many incredible business ventures there, really to support and get behind businesses. So what was your journey?
I started off as a fairly meek sort of carpenter. I'd done an apprenticeship as a carpenter and joiner, mm-hmm. and built a fairly large sort of building business. We had 170 odd employees at one stage, and
wow.
Unfortunately, after a fairly significant injury, I broke my back. That left me pretty much unable to walk for about 6 months.
Wow.
I had to re-establish and rethink what I was going to do, and end up going into 12 years of full-time ministry after that,
uh-huh.
and come out of that and started the Transformational Group. So
yeah.
It's been a little bit of a variable ride, but always had a passion for helping people and trying to teach.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, from the business that you were operating in the building industry, having so many teams and leaders beneath you, one of the things that I know that you wanted to really share some insights around, which I think is important for all of us, because as we continue to grow our business, particularly if we start off as just being in the business ourselves, there's no way we can possibly do everything ourselves. We need to have a strong team. And one of the things I often see is that we go from someone who's an expert in our field or really knowledgeable, we're helping our clients, we need to expand our business, and we're not necessarily good at leadership and building a culture. What are some of the things that you see? First off, let's identify some of the things that you see organizations are doing or business leaders are doing that they need to transform, that they really need to change, because it's keeping them stuck. And then we'll talk through some of the key things that you know is really important as well to make sure that we do build an effective team that thrives. What are some of the things you see that is lacking?
Okay, well, I think a lot of people, a lot of leaders I see, a lot of the business owners, they get themselves so busy,
mm-hmm.
And they won't let go of the control.
Yes.
Probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks I see. So a big part about leadership is not being afraid to actually have somebody who's actually better than you doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, quite often our ego gets in the road. So I see ego and that lack of letting go as being one of the big barriers.
Mm-hmm.
I think also one of the other ones is a lot of business owners, they're wanting to get there, so they either try and grow too fast, and so they bring on people without actually putting any sort of planning in place and having the right, so they start grabbing at different things. They say, oh, geez, I need somebody to do this or I need somebody to do that, thinking it through and actually taking the time. And And yeah, quite often they'll get themselves unstuck by building or getting the wrong person. Not necessarily saying that they're a bad person, they're just the wrong person in their team at that time.
Yes.
And so if there's no planning, you end up with chaos eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I love those two. Let's dive into those a little bit more in depth, because I've been talking to someone over the last few weeks, and she's been seeing that there's a very successful business who has got structure in place, has got processes in place. So we've got the practical steps, but we're talking about the mindset steps. You still need to give over and give that trust over to your team rather than micromanaging. So that's more of a mindset issue. And what's happened in the past in this particular business owner's case is that unfortunately he did hire the wrong people, and there was a bit of theft going through, and that can be quite scary and quite overwhelming when you think about for a business owner. So what are some things that you share with business owners who, maybe not in the case of theft, if you hire the right people in the right place and people who are trustworthy and have integrity, you shouldn't really have to worry about that, but there's things that you need to put in place. But what are some mindset shifts to be able to let go of the reins so that, you know, the team can step in and do what they are supposed to do, and then we can focus on the things we're supposed to do in our business?
Yeah. Look, Amory, it's the mind is it's our biggest asset and the biggest problem we're going to have.
Yes.
And the reality is, I guess I'm a control freak, and I'll say that. Yeah, most of us are, and I think self awareness of actually being able to say that's who I am, and I'm that adventurer type. So I'm a visionary. You know, I love to try new stuff.
Yes.
And quite often getting into the detail drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So just knowing who you are, and there's plenty of different profiling sort of understanding who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you're building a team, to try and stop that theft thing, or really that comes in when your team is actually feeling like they're actually being ripped off, they're not a part of, they're not getting valued enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually hand over a task and then you take it back, you're not just taking the task back, you're taking back a bit of that person's integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually saying, I actually don't trust you to do that task. So that builds mistrust.
Yes.
And that mistrust then goes, well, if they're going to not trust me, I'm going to do the stealing, or I'm not going to actually put in my best. And you don't create a team that thrives.
Mm.
So it's really, if you can model trust and say, look, I give you what I have, I'll give you the support, and instead of actually saying, taking that job back, you actually go, how can I help you?
Mm.
How can I empower you more and show you more trust? That will grow.
Yes.
And the thefts and those sort of that negative connotations actually go away.
Yeah, I love that. Let's go into the next point around creating a compelling mission, vision, and value statement, because that, as you said, when we have that in the right place, in the right order, and we're clear on that, we then can attract and hire people who also resonate with that. It's so important across all facets to having the right mission, values, and vision and values. For someone who's listening today who hasn't really got clarity, what are some things that you can share today to help them start to get that on paper? Because this is core to the business, isn't it?
100% core. And so many businesses go along, they get passionate about doing something, and they go along and they do what I call mission creep. And if you know exactly what you're trying to achieve, what you're about, who your people are you're trying to reach and help, clarity comes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not jumping from pillar to post. It actually creates in a team environment as well. The leader doesn't know what they're doing. They seem to be jumping around from left to right. So you can build quite a thriving and large business with lots of things, different things happening, provided there is a sense that you actually have a plan or a vision in place that this is where we're going, and this is core to what we're about. I think then when we talk about the values for me are the foundation. It is where it all starts. And those, like if you walk through our building here, we've got them on the wall. They are everywhere. And it really just resonates. So who are we as a company? And so when we come from we're going to employ somebody here is a client, doesn't matter who it is, they can actually see front and center who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And those values is how we make decisions. So, for instance, when we talk about leadership, we can say, we're going to be good leaders. That's okay, but our core value here is to be a courageous leader.
Yes.
Courageous leadership is different than just being good leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Courageous means we're going to make decisions sometimes that is unpopular. And so we can have a conversation about that. What does courageous leadership mean? It means that sometimes it's not going to be popular, but we're going to take calculated risks, not, you know, unsolicited risks. And so when we start to think of that, you know, we have another value here, which is about having kingdom-type relationships, relationships built upon a foundational value where, and if we be honest with ourselves, sometimes we get those people that are, yeah, we might call them a pain in the neck sometimes. We call them a unicorn. That's our unicorn principle. Yeah, they're just a mythical, we don't exactly know, yeah, or understand what it is, but instead of actually getting that negative connotation to a relationship, we say, how can we actually show this person a bit of grace, a bit of love? And so that, you know, kingdom relationship sort of principle and value shines through everything we do.
Yes.
It keeps a smile on your face rather than actually getting that grumps.
Yeah. I love that, and that you've gotten clear on that, and that you really have them on your wall, so you live them out as the leader of your business, and you encourage everybody in your team to do that, because often organizations will go through this process. They'll talk about their vision, their values, their mission, and then the document gets filed in a drawer, never really to resurface until something happens and we go, oh, okay, let's go back and have a look at what's driving us. But I think also too, when you start to do that and you bring that forth into your message, your marketing, everything that you do, you really send out a message, don't you, that attracts the type of clients who you know you're going to do the best work with, and that clients who are going to value and appreciate. So it really is a win-win-win situation. And then also too, the clients that perhaps you could do work with, but they're not your best dream ideal client, and who, you know, that in that relationship. Have you found over time, since you're so clear and your team is so clear on that, that there are less conversations with the clients that really, you know the pain in the, you know, those people? Have you found that to be true too?
Yes, we get less and less unicorns.
Yes, unicorns. That's the word I'm going to look for.
That's the one. Yeah, I know maybe not a total Christian sort of perspective on it, but yeah. It very much so. It makes it really simple. When you get clear on your value and you see your target market becomes crystal clear, you know exactly who you're about, what you're about, it's easy to say no and or say, you know when sometimes you're desperate, you might be desperate to make the next sale, you know, you're negative cash flow. It takes that desperation away. You say, no, this is the time to say no, and this is the time to say yes.
Yeah.
And your values drive that. And it makes a huge, huge difference to, your own peace and your own joy, I suppose, in life as well.
Yeah. I have a colleague of mine who is in part of a networking group, and one of her core values is around integrity of relationships with people and, of course, animals. So she will actually not even have a conversation with someone who or an organization that tests on animals. And she was approached by, I think, an abattoir who wanted her to do social media and so forth. And she, without a shadow of a doubt, said, sorry, you know, we've got core values and we just would not be able to do our best work and that kind of thing. So sometimes as Christian business owners, we've got kingdom values and we know the type of clients that who may want to approach us. If we were sitting across the table with Jesus and having to be accountable, which all of us will be, you know, he may question some of those people that we work with. And so why I'm sharing the story about my colleague is that for her, this was a clear value. She stood up with it with no hesitation whatsoever. You know, sometimes as Christians, our boundaries to our values can sometimes get a bit shaky. Have you found that too?
And what have
you done?
Oh, you're
it's an ongoing battle, isn't it, sometimes?
It's not confession time, I'm afraid.
No.
And the reality is, and I think, you know, when we start to talk about team and building a team, this is where I might be the leader. Now, it might be my business, so to speak, but our team keeps us all accountable. And quite often they'll say to me, hey, Kel, you're not actually quite living up to that value or whatever it might be. So if I make a comment or do something that's a little bit left field, the team keeps accountable.
Yes.
And so we've got to submit to our own, we've got to admit when we're wrong, and you know, sometimes like, oh, that's a pain in the neck, and immediately you see the team go, what? Like, and it's quite interesting case. So being accountable to one another makes a big difference. But yeah, it really does. The more and more you practice it, the more you start to put those values at the core of every conversation, the more you grow.
And I think it is having those conversations in that you're not judging anybody by all means, but actually, like in the case of my colleague, she was honest. She said, look, these are one of our core values, and for us to take you on a client is not going to be fair to either of us. They respect them as far as what they're doing and what have you, all the best, good luck kind of thing. And I think, you know, when we find we're putting our values down and an opportunity has come to us that really would have us challenge that, to have that conversation and to do so with courageous leadership. But it's something that I have to commit to prayer, let me say, more often than not. Anyway, so that's great. So really get clear on those. Let's talk just briefly before we talk about building a network of like-minded people. Let's talk about mission, because sometimes what happens is people can tend to get mission and vision mixed up a little bit. What does mission and vision mean to you? What are the differences? Let's get clear on that to help us move forward.
So our vision is, if you think about it like this, is I'm sitting here now talking to you. Where do I want to be in 5, 10 years time, whatever it might be? So your vision is what you want things to look like. You know, what I physically vision, right, that we're going to do. And so I quite often, when I put a vision statement together, is I'll say it is now 2020, and I see this. And so that framework, that's the mindset about, that's what I see as being the future. I'm not being a prophet. I'm very much being, this is what I believe. This is how I see the goals that I'm going to set out to be. That clearly then says, what are we going to do and how are we going to break it out? What are the goals we're going to set? What are the objectives? How do we actually break that down? So every team member knows where we're going.
Yes.
The mission is being very clear on what are you going to do, all right? What is the core change you're going to make in from your business to the world? That's the way I see our mission. So, you know, just as Jesus' mission was, is to, you know, to be the savior of the world. What is our mission? What are we going to contribute and focus upon? And that is not going to change.
Yes.
So our vision does change, you know, the mechanisms and how we grow and what we do, but at the core, it's not about that. So for me, it's always been about education. It's always about helping, in some respects, those people who struggle to help themselves. And I don't mean that in a negative context. So people who might have been hurt at work, or like myself, that was really what drove me to start this business. People with disabilities, people who are trying to grow a business that are core service businesses, people helpers.
Yes.
So our whole business is around people helping. So that mission field is not going to stop. It's not going to change. It's always going to be, how do I empower and help people to live out their best dream?
Yes. Yeah. I love the way.
That is the transformational group. That is our mission. Unfortunately, and if I just diverse just for a second, if I get a bit of free license here.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about mission creep? That's when we go, well, this is what we're trying to do. This is the people group. This is what we're trying to do and change in the world. But hang on a second. There's a pool of money over here. So I'll go off and do this for a little while, which is totally different to what our core. And that's when we get creep. And there's quite a few, money becomes one of them, or it becomes too hard. So we'll just try something different. That's when mission gets blurry.
Yes.
So being very clear on what are you trying to do in the world? And then how am I going to get there? What do I see that's going to be like? That's your vision.
Yeah, I love the way that you've explained that. It really sets the difference between what each is, and it really confirms the importance of having the mission. And I think when you talk about mission creep, what often happens is that we know in business you build momentum, and if we are building momentum in a different direction, we're just spreading ourselves too thin, aren't we? And that's why we never really reach that point of fulfilling the overall mission or the goals that we set for ourselves. Because I guess the mission that you want to impact and really that umbrella, if you will, that is something that'll be ongoing all of the time. And you set your mini goals and so forth as you continue to grow. But obviously, I mean, if I look at our mission for the Ambitious Entrepreneur Network as a whole and the Christian Entrepreneur Podcast fits under that, ours is to make a difference, change the world one message at a time. And you're part of that. And, yeah. You know, every message is going to impact someone who will then in turn impact others as well. And that's our overall mission, you know, and every time we do something, it's, we hope that, we continue to do that. Now, one of the key things that will really support us and then on the other side will hinder us if we don't get the right people in place, the right team and the right network in place is what you want to talk about next. So I think it just beautifully segues into building a network of like-minded business owners and other people to create win-win-win opportunities, because we can have a vision, we can have a purpose and a mission, but if we share it with the wrong people or the people who, yeah, we shouldn't really be sharing, because, you know, their mindset is not where we're at, that can sometimes limit us as well in what we're achieving. So let's talk about how can we build this like-minded network.
Yeah, look, I think that's been, I wouldn't say the secret, that is definitely been the piece that has made us grow. We've grown 5,000% in 4 years.
Yes.
We're growing 150 to 200% year upon year. We have since the establishment. And it's just
amazing.
About creating the right people networks, the right joint ventures, partnership, whatever you like to call them. Creating the network of like-minded people. And I go back to the values. If my values and I see they've got a set of values, I ask them very clearly. I said, what are your values? And like you were saying before, that the people who they won't work with people who've got something to do with animals or testing on animals, that's their value. And so if there's a mixed values, it just doesn't work. But eventually you might see a potential opportunity to make money, but eventually it falls apart because the values fall apart. And I think at the core is making sure we actually get that alignment, and so there's that real synergy rather than hitting together eventually.
Yes.
So I've created a huge network, and I believe it's not just I believe very much the Lord's actually put those people in my life for a reason. Some of them Christian, some of them not. And for the same reason, we can't have, if we're surrounded by Christians, how do we actually get out into the mission field? So you've got to have a bit of a balance. So I've always had a bit of a balance in that. But everybody knows day one where I stand. And my values speak that. And having a value that says kingdom relationships, they go, what do you mean by that? So it opens the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when people talk about networking and building networks, if you will, and one of the ways to do that is to get out there and have conversations with people, people tend to think, and this is unfortunate, and I want to dive a little bit deeper into some of the key relationships that you have built as part of your network. They think customers, potential customers. But I think we need to take a step back and say some of the key networks or relationships that we build are not relationships where it's customer, where someone is your customer, but a referral relationship, an alliance partner, someone who you together, you might create a product or a service offering. So the two parts, you bring your expertise and able to deliver something you would not be able to do just on your own. Speak about some of the core networks or relationships that you have built that you see are continuously evolving and contributing win-win to both parties, or even three, there might be three people in a group. What's really worked well for you?
Look, it's about actually understanding, we talk about it from a marketing sense or your avatar, who is the person you're trying to reach, and understanding your clientele. So if you know your clientele and what you offer, what your mission is to offer that client, and you find somebody else who's actually got something that has got a value to add to your same client that you don't offer, you've got a perfect joint venture partnership arrangement.
Yes.
And you've got values aligned, you and where you go. And so quite often it's about building relationships. So, I've got a database, you've got a database, different people have got different databases of their own current clients. that mutually we can introduce each different business to that offers something different.
Mm.
And that's been a big part of the way in which I've done it. So I literally, once I build up, once I know a person, I get to know them, like them, mm-hmm. then trust them. It's a bit of a process. Sometimes it's a, I know, like, trust within a couple of minutes, something just clicks, you just know it's going to be working. Sometimes that relationship building process can take, weeks or months or even years.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get that level of trust with a person, then you're prepared to actually send an email or do a personal introduction of that person to your client base.
Yes.
That's very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not you doing it for everybody all the time and they start to do it for you, to give you an understanding of what I've seen in that, just recently, I'm actually just putting another program together at the moment. I've got quite a few thousand people in my database, but that's only a couple of thousand people that I could email to or connect with or whatever.
Yes.
Through the joint ventures, it went out to 180,000.
Wow.
So that's the sort of leverage you can get by just knowing a couple of people who you know, like, and trust, who share the same values, are not going to be in a competitive nature, and you can actually share and actually get your message into the world, which is exactly how we got to know each other through a joint venture.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think, from the perspective of collaboration, and I heard this once said, I can't contribute it to who I heard it from, but if someone hears or sees and it is you that said this originally, let me know so that I can add your name to this, because I'm talking about it often. They said that collaboration is the new competition. That there is no, even big businesses, really multinational businesses, are now collaborating with partners who bring expertise to the table, that because it would take them so long as an organization to learn and develop, in another area. So they look for these key relationships, and together they can offer, incredible offerings to their clients. But sadly, in the smaller businesses, the SMEs, they can tend to fear that a little bit, can't they? And that's where it really, again, comes back down to, what is your mission? What are your values? What are you looking for in a potential relationship? Because I think we fear that it may go sour. But again, if we're not clear on those things, it's really going to be hard to identify someone that we think, I think there could be a possible conversation here. Have you found that as well?
Oh, very much so. Yes. Yeah, and quite often, and this, I'm not stereotyping, but quite often there's a little bit of I felt this myself when I first started in this sort of methodology of growth.
Yes.
You feel, hang on a second, these people are going to know, they're going to know a little bit of my deep, dark secrets. And also they're going to potentially take, because every client you work with has only got a certain amount of money they can spend.
Mm-hmm.
So if I actually share my client with them, are they going to spend their money with me, or are they going to spend their money with another client?
Yes.
And I think this is where that reciprocity thing happens. Yeah, you reap what you sow. If you actually truly want the best for your client, you will give them every service possible and everything they need as an offering.
Yeah.
If you can't do it, if you truly want to value your clients, give them what they need, not what actually just supplies an income for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big mind shift difference.
It is. And I think also too, from the opportunity or from the viewpoint of your client, if you recommend a service or some form of offering or product that really helps elevate on that customer to take their business or wherever it is to the next level, they're going to be so grateful for you. There's a bond of trust, know, like, and trust that really is built there too, that they want to come back. It'll come full circle. It often really does, doesn't it?
100%.
Yeah, yeah. So let us, we've just covered so many great things, I think foundational things, fundamental things that unfortunately a lot of businesses don't really spend a lot of time in, and that's why they continue to spin their wheels and they really can't grow that momentum to see their business expand. Share a little bit, if you will, Kelvin, the services that you offer and also how best can people get in contact with you?
Yep, so I guess our main strength is really about trying to help people to realize what they're about and then tailor something for them. So getting people clear on their vision, mission statement, values, their strategic planning, all right? And we've got quite a number of tools. So that's I guess, the core of what we do. And then we have through the network, so we have an RTA registered training organisation. Our registered training organisation concentrates on leadership, business mm-hmm. leadership, as well as the disability sector. So some people might want to get some training outside of that, but we have a network to be able to do that. So we work at a strategic level, helping people get very, very clear on what's my mission, what's my values, what am I about, where do I want to go?
Yes.
You get those basic tools right and you get a bit of a plan together, you can unleash awesome anywhere you want to. And so that's really what the transformation group is about, is transforming their thinking, their mindset. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, we can do some other bits and pieces for them and put them into a network of people who are like-minded with that.
Yes.
So, yeah, the easiest way is probably personally to get in contact with me, kelvinholiday.com. Go there. I've got a couple of books there that they can have a look and see who I am. I've got a bit of an intro video there, a little bit more about me. Or they can go to transformgroup.com.au, and both of those sites have got plenty of information. One about the company, one about me personally. Then book a personal call in there. I give away 15-minute strategy calls any time of the day, just to help out anybody I can.
Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, we'll put all of the details on how you can get with Kelvin on our show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE38, and you'll be able to also watch Kelvin in his interview today, because we recorded this via video as well as audio. Kelvin, one of the things that I'm doing for all of my guests, if I'm able to do that for you too, is just say a word of prayer before we close up the show. Am I able to do that for you?
Awesome.
Fantastic. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Kelvin today, that he was able to share his wisdom and knowledge that he's been able to develop all these years. And also too, Lord, that it was really from a kingdom focus. We're reminded it's so important to have our core values in place, and that when we are networking and doing business, even with people who don't yet know you, that can often lead us to have a conversation about how much you love them as well. Father, we just want to pray that you'll continue to bless the businesses and the networks and the clients that Kelvin is working with this year, so that he can continue to grow a kingdom business and help other businesses grow their kingdom businesses as well. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so great. We're recording this on a Monday, but it just reconfirms just how important it is to really get clear on our mission, on our vision, and of course our values, which underpins all of those. So thank you once again for coming on the show.
My pleasure. It's been great.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.